Today, in Atlanta, Georgia, January 27, 2003, the Georgia State Legislature opened its afternoon session. Representative Bob Holmes, the 48th District in Atlanta, used a one-minute personal point of order to denounce Bush's planned aggression against Iraq. Personal points of order are limited to 1 minute, so Representative Holmes was forced to extend his remarks in a press conference held outside the Georgia State Capitol building.
I'm pleased to be with you this afternoon to make this statement on President Bush's policy towards Iraq. As a university professor for more than 30 years, I have daily conducted empirical analysis, and I find that President Bush has not provided any substantive or specific facts to United Nations inspectors, our European allies, or Middle Eastern allies, or the American people about the location of the alleged 30,000 nuclear chemical weapons in Iraq. He has not presented sufficient evidence to justify a unilateral attack against Iraq, nor substantiated any imminent military threat against the United States or our allies. Bush's actions directly affect all Georgians. A war could siphon off $550 to $200 billion that could be used to improve education, health, housing, environment, and other needed programs. This is not Desert Storm when we responded to aggression and had the support of the entire world. To unilaterally invade another nation and overthrow a government without proof or documentation that it poses threats to us or our allies harkens back to the days of imperialism of the 19th century in Central and South America. General Wesley Clark, the former Supreme Allied Commander over NATO forces, said on January 22nd, "We cannot win a war against Iraq without the support of our European and Middle Eastern allies." I supported our role in Desert Storm, but I cannot and you should not support Bush's seemingly irrational and obsessive behavior regarding Iraq while showing a willingness to negotiate with and tolerate North Korea's nuclear weapons. My big brother Clarence, who served in Vietnam and received a Purple Heart, a Silver Star, and a Bronze Star, supports my position. On the other hand, Bush used his connections to get into a Texas National Guard unit, but then failed for 10 months to report for reassignment with his units to Alabama. He does not have the moral authority to take us into a war which may cost thousands of lives of our sons, grandsons, nephews, and cousins, and cause untold economic damage to the United States economy and create the highest one-year deficit in the history of the United States. And it would also shift the burden from paying to future generations. Political leaders have a responsibility to speak out on key public policy issues. The First Amendment is our most sacred right. And when public officials advocate policy initiatives that are wrong, like Bush's policy on Iraq, then political, civic, and religious leaders have an obligation to say so. In conclusion, I would like to quote Dr. Martin Luther King, who spoke to the American Psychological Association in 1967 and said, "It is my conviction that ultimately a genuine leader is a molder of consensus. On some position, cowardice asks the question, is it safe? Expediency asks the question, is it political? Vanity asks the question, is it popular? But conscience must ask the question, is it right? And there comes a time when one must take a stand that is neither safe nor political nor popular. And one must take it because it is right. And that is where I find myself today." And I wanted to make the point, it's the policy really, not the individual, although in the longer, complete statement, I wanted to indicate that Bush really doesn't have a moral right, I don't think, in terms of what he did in Vietnam when he refused to report. I don't say he refused, he just didn't report. And that's been in the papers, you guys have read that, and no one has ever said anything about it, which blows my mind. And now this person who had an opportunity in Vietnam to fight for his country has basically now said, well, yeah, I didn't want to go then, and I didn't even report to the National Guard unit when we were transferred, but I'm going to take us in the war without any substantial evidence. What happened to these 30,000 warheads? I could imagine someone being able to hide dozens or hundreds. I can't imagine him hiding 30,000. If his intelligence leads him to come, my brother was in G2, by the way. My brother was in intelligence. He said it's asinine for him to say. He said, you've got ways of protecting your sources. So if you've got that, why don't you give it to the UN inspectors? They can go straight to where the missiles are, where the chemical weapons are, rather than having to go to universities and hospitals and every place else. And no one is raising the question.
You prefer that the Constitution says that all treaties shall become the law of the land.
Yeah.
In light of the fact that the United Nations Charter says that no nation
can
threaten
clearly
to use force, plan to use
force,
or unilaterally use force outside of the Security Council.
That's right.
Could you comment on George Bush's actual legal authority?
Well,
to do these
I things? Don't think he has the legal authority as well. I think that the action that he's going to try to use is the resolution relating to Homeland Security. But clearly, this is not an example of terrorism. There's been no link made between the Iraq government and, of course, the terrorist, Osama bin Laden. So he has no authority, moral, legal, or any other kind. As I said, it's a unilateral action by an obsessed individual who many think he's trying to seek vengeance for what happened to his father or finish what his father wanted to do. So that's basically my notion. So he has no authority to do it.
Okay.
It seems, out of all the Georgia House representatives in session today, only one actually listened to the words spoken during the invocation.
Ladies and gentlemen, it only takes a minute to change your mind and thereby change your life. It only takes a minute.